it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Hi, Joe Angel. Back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Yeah, the last time the Yankees won a series at Camden Yards, well, you got to go back to 2013. That's when Mariano Rivera picked up two saves and a victory in that three-game Yankee sweep. Well, today the Orioles will try to keep that streak intact as they try to make it 2 out of 3 against the Yankees here this afternoon. And a good pitching battle today. Sonny Gray against Kevin Gausman on a gorgeous day for baseball. I guarantee no rain today. Buck Showalter today will answer a question that you have always wanted the answer to when we continue right after this.
I don't think I've ever had a martini. Not yet. Maybe today. Maybe today. I'm trying to think if anything's changed since last night that y'all need to know about, is there?
Your starters decide beyond Friday in Cleveland. I know Miley's.
Yeah, we do. I do want them to hear. Rogers doing some work days and putting the finishing touches on a couple of things. We want to make sure, you know, Mike Wright's here and active today. Actually eligible today. I'm trying to take that all into play. So I think when I get through with the work days today, we should have it. I mean, we've got it. We had it last night. I want to make sure the work days and everything go all right today. So I should be able to get it to you either before the game or shortly thereafter.
With the addition of Wright, you now have 12 pitchers in the bullpen.
Need them all.
But is there a time when in September when there's too many? Or is there never a time where there's too many?
Well, it depends on each team. You know, the needs. I mean, if the rules are the rules, you're going to take advantage of them. And if you agree or disagree with the rules, we all know what how most managers, I think all managers, feel about September baseball and the rules that it's just, but it is. So what do you do? Say, listen, I don't like it, so we're only going to have 6 or 7. And keep in mind, we spent some of the time this year with 6 guys in the pen. Now you double that, and I think the only thing, it gives you almost too many toys. Sometimes the options can get in the way. Some good decisions. It's tough. You know, you like the idea of being able to cover some innings, as far as physically with some guys. That's about the extent that we like it. You know, I've said before, left-hand relievers, right-handed situational guys don't play this time of year after the seventh inning because they're too easily negated. You know. Donnie Hart's probably not going to face a left-hand hitter after seventh inning the rest of the year, unless it's a guy they don't pinch hit for. And that's a big deal with advanced scouts. You got to know which left-handers are guys that will stay in the lineup, right or left. But usually they stay in there because they hit them both well. That's another, I think, mistake that people think that it doesn't affect the way the game is. It affects it a lot. So basically, you're just picking your poison this time of year. What, Mel?
Having the extra pitchers, though, does that save on fatigue for guys that you're planning to have on the postseason roster?
A little bit, but it also – but you're still going to pitch those guys in a meaningful situation. It's just I think the player movement cuts down because, let's face it, last week we would have made 4 or 5 pitching moves with our AAA club to cover the innings we're having to pitch out of our bullpen. So are we fortunate or unfortunate not to have a AAA team in the playoffs? What else? No, I'm going to quit talking about September baseball. It's pretty obvious. You know who hates it? Umpires. Like, I feel so bad coming out of the dugout again. And they kind of look at you like, really? You try to get the guy ready so at least you can move it quickly. And then somebody gets hurt early in the game. Catcher visits. Time of game's got to be longer in September, don't they? Most places.
Buck, any update on J.J.?
He's out throwing and hitting as we speak. I came by before I came in here, and I'll check with him after. I'm hoping to activate him tomorrow, see how the hitting goes. Of course, I was hoping to activate him Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm hoping tomorrow in Cleveland.
Buck, your feelings on Gene Michael?
Oh, yeah, a lot. Tough day. I really hard to talk about it. My wife called me on the way in today, right after I left the house. Just pulled off the side of the road. Tough, no. Got a lot of feelings about it. You get a guy that, you know, kind of gets you. You go through some of the things that Gene and I went through together. Best baseball evaluator I ever saw. He had a great, great gut. Never missed on an infielder. Gosh, you know, I was so fortunate to have a general manager. I'd love to have all the managers have that luxury of having a guy that played the game, coached the game, coached third base, first base. Coached infielders, managed the Yankees, was a great scout for the Yankees, and just a source for me, and a guy cut to the chase. So blatantly honest and ethical when it came down to it.
He was ahead of his time. I mean, embraced everything. Very funny guy. And very, when it got serious time,
he'd come in with a great idea and asked me, he said, "You think you can make this work? I'm thinking about trading Roberto Kelly for Paul O'Neill, da da da." And, you know, but he'd say, "Can you, because I've got a gut on this guy, and hey, we're going to sign Steve Howe. Can you make it work?" You know, and being thrown out of baseball together for 3 days over testifying for Steve Howe. I mean, you go through things like that, you know. And also when he'd come in with some things he wasn't happy about. I mean, he had a great, very consistent, I could talk about him for hours. It's a huge loss for me personally. Great partner in golf. Great partner. Make a big, he had this putter. Hillerton Bradley sent him that had a stick, a bat, and his stick putter. Good, thank you.
Mike Bordick and Chris Davis. Before the game, they got together. Chris Davis is the Oriole nominee for the Roberto Clemente Award. So they'll talk about that when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Oh, welcome back. Mike Bordick here. Well, earlier today, I sat down and talked with Chris Davis. He is the Roberto Clemente Award nominee for the Orioles. And that award, a pretty special award for Major League Baseball that best exemplifies the game of baseball through sportsmanship and, of course, community involvement, named after Roberto Clemente, who died tragically in an airplane crash trying to support the victims of an earthquake in Nicaragua. Chris Davis up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Mike Bordick, today's special guest, Chris Davis, nominee for the Roberto Clemente Award. This year's nominee, Adam Jones, has won in the past, and you had to feel pretty special about bringing on the nominee award this year.
Yeah, I think it's something that, you know, any player is obviously definitely honored to be nominated for that award, specifically because, you know, we're in a position where we can do a lot of things off the field and really impact the communities that we're in. And over the past few years, like you said, Jonesy's been the recipient, and I've seen a number of things that he's done with the community, and really it's inspired me and my wife to get out and get a little bit more involved.
And, I mean, you've really made a big impact with some of the local charities. Casey Cares, obviously pretty important, it seems, to you and your family.
Yeah, Casey Cares is an organization that we've been involved with for the past few years, and it's one that kind of started with Nick and Christina Markakis, and that was actually how we were introduced to Casey and came to know about the organization and everything that they do. And as you know, as the years over the years, we basically just kind of taken over the Orioles representation for Casey Cares, and it's something that we really enjoy doing. We've met a lot of kids, a lot of their families, and you get to see them year in and year out and see how they're progressing, and it's pretty cool to be a part of.
It must be hard to all of a sudden reach families on a personal level like that, because it is so impactful for kids and families to meet, you know, some of their on-field heroes.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when you first meet some of these kids and their families and kind of get an idea of what they're going through and really the challenges that they're facing, it's actually pretty inspiring just to see how resilient they are, how positive they are, and you develop these relationships and you understand that it's not just a one-year thing, it's not just a seasonal thing, but it really is a lifetime commitment, and that's kind of the way that we viewed it, not only with Casey Cares, but with the University of Maryland Hospital. This year was the first year that we had our event. We didn't really know what to expect, didn't know what it was going to look like, but we had a great turnout. We raised a ton of money and awareness, and it's something that we're looking forward to for the years to come.
Now, when you're put into this role as a, kind of an ambassador, I'd say, for the Orioles, as far as community service and just your overall character on and off the field, do you hold that a responsibility to pass it on to the younger generation of players as well?
Absolutely, and I think it's something that you know, I've learned more and more about the older I've gotten, the more I've seen guys, whether they're involved with charities or organizations or they have their own events, whatever it is, I think you learn more about it. You find your niche, you find something that really fits for you, and you hope to pass it on to guys that are younger than you. I think the Casey Cares thing for us is they've been involved with the Orioles for like 17 years, and it's kind of changed hands over the years. But I think it's a great way for some younger guys to get involved and start to learn what it means to get more involved in your community and really try to make an impact off the field.
So you're going to be recognized tonight before the ball game in front of the crowd. Is that true?
Yeah, we're supposed to be recognized. I'm hoping that we can kind of get some clarity here pretty soon so that I can give my wife a heads up and she can be here for that too.
There you go. Well, congratulations. Probably one of the most impressive awards I think you can get in the game of baseball today, distinguishing and separating yourself from so many as far as your character on and off the field and your commitment to the community that you play in.
I appreciate it, Bordy.
Well, Kevin Gausman looking to pick up his 11th win of the season. Back-to-back scoreless start, so he's been on a roll, taking on Sonny Gray, who's making his 7th start as a New York Yankee. Stay tuned. Next, Orioles baseball on the Orioles Radio Network.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Mike Bordy back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And this one in the loss column today. Yankees win it very convincingly. And they win it by a score of 9-1. And again with Mike Bordy. I'll tell you what, Bordy, they say that momentum is only as good as your next day starting pitcher. Well, the next day today came after a rainout. So a big win on Tuesday, but then the momentum was kind of taken away by the rainout. And then the next day, Kevin Gausman today, hey, he just wasn't very good.
Yeah, he didn't have his quality stuff. And a little bit surprising because he's definitely been more consistent the second half. Listen, he came off back-to-back quality starts, a scoreless starts at that, but the Yankees came out with a solid game plan, make him work. He threw 36 pitches in the first inning, and that is kind of the story there. The command just not there for Gausman.
Hey, we saw Austin Hayes make his major league debut. He had a good at bat.
Yeah, he sure did. He sure did. It's encouraging to see some of the young prospects in the organization have this opportunity to come up in September, get a feel for maybe potential postseason atmosphere, and just get their feet wet here at the major league level.
You know, buddy, you know it wasn't a good day when one of the first things you talk about on the postgame is one at-bat by a rookie making his major league debut.
Yeah.
It wasn't a very good day.
Right. Unfortunately, not a lot to talk about with the Oriole offense. Sonny Gray was pretty solid in his 5 2/3. But the rest of that bullpen, boy, they running out some big arms. Green came in. Canley came in. I mean, it was impressive, the back end. So pitching shut down the Oriole offense today.
No question. The Orioles, the entire game today, had just 4 at-bats with a runner in scoring position. They went 0-for-4. And the only run they got today was unearned against Sonny Gray, and he is the winning pitcher. Yep, offensively, it was all Yankees, and it came right away in the first inning. A walk to Gardner against Kevin Gausman to get the game started. And then there was a stolen base, so he was out there with 2 outs. After Gausman struck out Headley and Castro, he had a chance to get out of the first inning, but he couldn't do it. He got 2 strikes on Gregorius, but in the end, well, Gregorius got him. Gausman got him 1-2-1. And the right-hander again delivers. And there's a ground ball. Davis, a dive back at first. He could not get to it. That's a base hit. Going to be extra bases down the line. Gardner comes in to score. And there goes Gregorius into second base. The ball back in. That's an RBI double. It's a 1-0 Yankee lead. And so Davis came within maybe 8 inches of making that play. Just not quite. And the Yankees, as it turned out, they had gone ahead for good. And then moments later, the judge came up, and, he made his judgment. And the 1-0 delivery. Fly ball, right center. This ball ain't coming back. This ball is heading for Annapolis, I think. Aaron Judge, opposite field, way back in the bleachers in right center. His 39th home run. And just like that, it's a 3-0 Yankee lead. And a second look at the map, it was heading for Little Italy and not Annapolis, but I think it got there. A judge with number 39. Then in the fourth inning, after the Yankees had scored twice against Kevin Gausman in the third, Kevin Gausman went 3 innings. He threw 79 pitches, gave up five runs on a total of – gave up eight runs, actually, on a total of five hits, three walks, and four strikeouts. He gave up five runs on eight hits against Gausman in the game today. In the fourth inning, with one out, Gardner a double, and then Headley came up to hit. Toyota, let's go places. And there's that ball's going places, way back in right center. Forget about it. Long gone. Off the bat of Chase Headley. That's a two-run home run. It's a 7-0 Yankee lead. Yeah, so tough days. Yankees' onslaught continued in the sixth inning. After a single and a double play ball, Castro came up with the bases empty. Had the 1-1 pitch. Fly ball left center. Well hit. Mancini backing up. Forget about it. It's in the Oriole bullpen. That is a line drive, home run, hit a rocket. His 14th home run, 8-0 New York. And by the way, for Castro, of his 14 home runs, six of them have come against the Orioles. We're going to see him again in New York on this coming road trip. Well, Frazier then hit a home run later. The Yankees went up with 13 hits, four of which were home runs, and they win it by a score of 9-1. And Mike Bordick will have Buck Showalter when we continue with the Browns Honda City postgame show right after this.
Well, welcome back to the Browns Honda City postgame show. Browns Honda City, buy happy with Browns. Well, good news. You can see the Orioles AA affiliate Bowie Bay Sox in playoff action tonight and tomorrow at 7 p.m. as they begin their quest for the Eastern League Championship. Get Bowie Bay Sox playoff tickets and information at baysox.com. Yeah, Gary Kendall. Boy, had the Bay Sox going in the right direction. Of course, Garibes Rosa, he won the Eastern League batting title. And there's a lot of other young stars down there. DJ Stewart, Ryan Mask, Mountcastle. They got to go down and see him and support the AA affiliate Bowie Bay Sox tonight or tomorrow. Well, let's take it downstairs as Buck Showalter is ready for his post-game comments.
Sensing early there with Kevin that he just didn't have it today? Or
I wouldn't say didn't have it. You know, gave up, what, a couple broken bat singles. We talk a lot about winning the first inning. You know, it doesn't mean you score three runs and they don't, or one run and they don't. Just, and thought the first hitter, you know, put a little semi-negative feel to it with as many pitches. I think he had 10 or 11 foul balls in the first inning. The first hitter, it wasn't the first hitter, first inning, but Gardner had a big at bat there. And, you know, you say there's a bunch of outs, a lot of game after that, but kind of put a little, you know, unless he could catch up an inning or two, it was going to be a challenge for him. But I thought the first at bat of the game, he gave up. It's one of the big differences between Major Leagues and AAA is you make really good pitches and they tick them off, and then you get two or three, or in his case, four pitches that could have been strikes. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you're hunting balls or strikes because there's so many pitches you can call either way over the course of a game. So I thought Kevin's stuff was pretty good. He struck out three guys in the first inning. Just wasn't his day.
During the course of the series, you guys pitched Judge real carefully, walked him a number of times.
Not intentionally.
Yeah, but in the first inning, obviously, there's a guy at second, nobody out. I mean, nobody on at first and two outs. Is there any consideration of pitching around him there?
No, I don't know about that. I think he's trying to make a lot better pitch than he did. He threw exactly where he didn't want to throw it. You know, people wonder a lot when you have guys, and he's had his struggles. You know, he's been a guy that a lot of people have been trying to pitch to for about a month or so. So you got to keep that in mind. But we, you know, you wonder sometimes. I remember I used to see it with, I don't want to get into names and have to compare him to it, but you wonder why those mistakes are made to those guys. And then you see an 8 or 9 hole hitter and they're painting the black and everything's because the anxiety of the power drives some mistakes to be made. So we get the ball, as you've seen later in the game, we get the ball, we're supposed to get it. You know, he'll do similar things that he's been doing, but if you get the ball in the wrong place, so, you know, you got some confidence that people get the ball in the right place. That two-run homer certainly didn't beat us.
When you came home from the West Coast a few weeks ago, a lot was made that you guys were going to play 16 out of 19 at home. You did, you know, pretty well. You're 12-7 over those 19 games.
I was wondering what it was coming in today. I didn't look.
Yeah. I mean, are you does that 12-7 give you confidence that the rest of the way can be as good as that, and could that get you where you need to go?
Well, obviously the opposition will have something to say about that. You know, you're playing one of, if not the best team in the American League the next 3 days, and you're going into Toronto, obviously a good club at home, and have that potential, and then back to New York. So, you know, it's there for us. It's still there for us. We're going to have a little help because, you know, if you won every game you played, somebody's got to lose. So you control some things, but you don't. But, you know, I think everybody, we've stayed engaged in the competition, and it's still there. I still think it's going to be there for us, but it's going to be hard.
On the flip side of that, how frustrating is it, you after the 7-game win streak, you know, you lose 4-7 at home, and you know, you have a chance to seize it, and maybe you didn't. How difficult is that to kind of manage?
Just
how hard is that? I mean, you guys, you know, had it in front of you there, and obviously
still do. We don't live in that negative world with those type of approaches and mentality. You can't, or this game will eat you up. You know, the Yankees are a pretty good team, you know, and they've added pieces like Sonny Gray and Frazier and Robertson, and you know, so they've gotten even better. So, you know, like I've said before, the competition is ourselves as much as anything, and you know, we just got to. You know, we won those 7 games you're talking about in a row. We got some quality starting pitching, and when we didn't, in a couple of those games, we were able to make up for it in other areas. So that's going to have to get better, and we'll see.
What are those days, like you mentioned, when the starts might not be there, but it ends up still being a, you know, a
like night before, game? Like night before last?
Yeah. What offensively is the difference to you? Do you see anything?
Sonny Gray.
Is that just kind of what it is as a pitcher?
He's one of the better pitchers in the American League. They go out and add him, and, you know, he's a good pitcher. Every once in a while, you know, it's not that easy just to, you know, you got to have a cooperation of them making mistakes and not being having good pitchers out there. You see the arms they run out of the bullpen, and, you know, so it's not easy hitting those guys. That's why they do what they do. This guy's, you know, number one starter for most people.
Kevin didn't seem to be throwing the ball well. He came into the game with 13 and two-thirds scoreless innings. Is that part of, you're talking about him, you know, still a young pitcher, the issue of handling adversity. Is that part of it in this game, or did they just?
I don't know if he didn't handle it well. He made a lot of stuff was fine, made a lot of good pitches. When he did make a good pitch, they stuck it in somewhere or they fouled him off. He made a lot of pitches that what you get credit for is a foul ball. And that's part of pitching up here. Just couldn't quite put them away. He made a couple of pitches that, you know, could have been strike three but weren't. You know, the stolen base is strike three. And, you know, it goes from there. But I don't – other than, you know, if his pitch count was too high in 3 innings for me to continue with him. So I have a tough time. I know it won't read well statistically. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and throw Kevin's outing under the bus. We didn't do much offensively, and the credit goes to Sonny Gray, and they're running some big arms out of there.
I know it's just one at bat, but Hayes seemed to hang in there pretty well in the shadows in the ninth inning. What did you think of how he presented?
No, it's one. You know, he's as advertised. You know, he's up there slashing, and I think we got him 4 flat down the line on jailbreak time. So, you know, it's a good start for him. You know, I was watching him in the outfield, just watching him move around. There's some familiarity. He seemed to handle the motion of his first at-bat well. And, you know, it's a guy throwing 97 out of the shadows. I thought he presented himself well. Okay, thank you.
Well, there you go, Buck Showalter and his postgame comments as the Yankees, they put a beating on the O's today. Scoring 9 runs. They pounded out 4 home runs. Judge picked up his 39th. Headley had picked up his 12th. Castro staying red hot, his 14th. And Frazier knocking out his 23rd home run of the year. Kevin Gausman, the early exit, only lasted 3 innings. 5 runs scored. He had 36 pitches in the first inning. And the Yankees put a 3 spot up. And the Oriole offense could not overcome.